All right, today is the 12th of November. The speaker is Forrest Cottrell. Because we're coming up on Thanksgiving, that is going to be my topic. It wasn't what I originally planned. The series that I was doing that had to do with seeing, hearing, understanding, I was going to talk about the understanding of the mystery. And do you see it? Do you understand it? As I think of many people, while they know there's a mystery, they think it has to do with the Gentiles being having the same inheritance with the Jews, and that's not it. That wasn't a secret. There's many things that are mentioned as a result of the mystery that come to fruition, but they were prophesied previously. So those are the results of the mystery being revealed, and so that was going to be my topic, but then Phil announced that Roger is going to teach next week, which would be the Thanksgiving weekend, and that he was going to talk about the mystery. So that I don't usurp any of his study, I thought, okay, then if he's going to teach about that, then I should go back and think about Thanksgiving. And so, you know, what's the purpose? The purpose is to explore what and why we should be thankful, and how do we show our thankfulness, especially in a world that just seems to be self-destructing. There's so many things going on in people's lives. We heard the prayers that Ron did earlier for those that have their own maladies, their own testing, their own sickness, they would be very, very thankful to be healthy again. As we all are. And as I wake in the morning, the first thing I do is start thinking about things that I'm thankful for and listing them. Having done this study, I realized that many of the things that I'm thankful for could be considered material things, our home, our cars. We've had car repairs, I think, 10 times this summer. And just to have a car that would make it from week to week would be really, really nice. Having a beautiful home, I'm thankful for. Having a beautiful wife, I'm thankful for. Having family, I'm thankful for. But are those the things, should they be limited to just those things? So hopefully when we conclude this in the next 45 minutes or so, we will have a different perspective because it's a lot more robust than that. So let's turn, and I hope that, Tony, you got the email I sent with this study, so you are prepared, and I really appreciate you and Chip, and now I guess Chico's posting from time to time, so thank you guys for the work that you do. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 8 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And so as you heard the list of things I was thankful for, I think that those that gives me peace. There's virtue, there's loveliness there, there's pureness in some of those things. And certainly I praise the Lord that we are so blessed in those ways. but is that really the only what that we should be thankful for, the only why that we should be thankful? And as this verse, this passage in Philippians talks about rejoicing, that when we are thankful, then we have peace. Think about the people who are anxious, that have anxieties. Is it because they're just not at peace, or is it because they're not thankful and therefore not at peace? Thankfulness comes before, in this passage, the peace of God that passes all, what? All understanding. And so I think that there's not only the what here, but there's also a why, and there are some hows, obviously, in think on those things. So let's take a look then at the Old Testament. What were they thankful for? Go to Leviticus chapter 7. We'll start in verse 12. It says, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord, if he offer it for a thanksgiving. Then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes, mingled with oil, unleavened wafers, anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil and fine flour and fried." All right, so how many of you are now changing your menu to have cakes with oil and wafers instead of pie? Pecan pie is our favorite here. There's nothing here about pumpkin pie. It says, "Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priests that sprinkle the blood of the peace offerings, and the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning." Okay, I'm glad I'm not part of the Old Testament here, because it's the leftovers that I enjoy almost as much, if not more, than the actual meal that we have on Thanksgiving. It goes on, verse 16, "But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers the sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten." Okay, so I can have leftovers. Verse 17, "But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire." Now, I don't know how you make your turkey, if assuming you have turkey on Thanksgiving, but don't burn it with fire until the third day. All right, so we've got a bit of a what here, a bit of a how here, and yet not necessarily a why, but obviously it had to do with the rituals that had to be done. The Hebrew word that is used for thanks or thanksgiving here is the word toda, and it has to do with adoration, a choir of worshipers, confession, sacrifice, praising, thanksgiving offer. And so, you know, it's interesting here that it also talks about an extension of a hand, and we're going to see how that's used in other places as well, but I'm not going to get into it right here. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 47 through 51. It said, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is the God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord." There's your why. "Among the heathen, and I will sing praises." There's your how. "Unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore." So the context of this is in back in verse chapter 22, verses 1 through 3, and it is David speaking in a song to the Lord, praising him and thanking him for his salvations, thanking him for saving him from his enemies. And so we have both the how here and the why. And this is a different word. It's yada, with a Y-A as opposed to a T-O previously. And it's talking about revering or worshiping, but it talks again about extending the hands or the wringing of hands, and to praise or to confess and to be thankful or in thanksgiving. So a little bit different way of using the same Hebrew word. Let's go back a little bit in Samuel, 2 Samuel, chapter 14. And the king said unto Job, behold, now I have done this thing. Go, therefore, bring the young man Absalom again. And Job fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Job said, today thy servant knoweth that I have found grace in thy sight, O my Lord, O king, in that the king hath fulfilled the request of the servant. Now, this is a different word. It's past tense. The context is Joab, after Absalom had tried to rent the kingdom from his father David and had rebelled against him. And so David fled from him. And, you know, Absalom is brought back after being in exile for a while. And Job says, you know, let me bring him forth to you. And as a result, David says yes. And so Joab, who is the commander of the army, is so thankful to him that this different word is the word Barak, B-A-R-A-K. It has to do with adoration, to kneel, to bless. It also can be used as the opposite of which be having to do with a curse. But it is abundance and congratulations and blessing and kneeling down and praising and saluting and giving of thanks. And so, you know, we've seen that David sang his thanks. In this case, Joab got down on his knees, showing adoration of the king and thanking him that he had listened to him. And that's kind of interesting to me that when I spoke about seeing and hearing and understanding, there so often were individuals that did not listen to the counsel of those that were subject to them. And different kings who had gone their own way or the way of their friends as opposed to their loyal counselors. We too have loyal counselors. They're called parents. We need to listen to them. We need to respect them. We need to praise them for what we've been given, which is wisdom over the years based on their experience. And again, we, as we have talked about this being Veterans Weekend, to be thankful to those who have given their lives for our country, those who have served. And even though they didn't have to give their lives, they've given parts of their bodies, in some cases, to our service. They've been maimed for life, and yet they were loyal to the point of anything and everything necessary to serve and to keep us free. So, again, we're thankful for that. Let's move to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7. It said, then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. That is not only a why, but it is a how. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory you in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Now, I realize this was written to Israel. This is not to us as Gentiles, but it's also not to us today, given that we are not under the law. But we are to remember his wonderful works. Maybe not the crossing of the Red Sea or the survival in the wilderness, but how many of us have many, many things that we should be thankful for, that we should list on a regular basis? Move on to Psalms 95, verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. What is a joyful noise? Well, it says with psalms or with songs, but there are also joyful noises. Just rejoicing. Just us being thankful and exalting him and praising him above all for what he's done in our lives, for what he will do in our future life. Mike has talked about inheritance. Boy, if you can't get joyful about the fact that we have spiritual blessings, if you can't be thankful for the fact that we were chosen before the foundation, before the downfall, before the creation, then you need to read Genesis to see what was so amazing about that. Go on to Psalms 100, verse 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. There's the why. His mercy is everlasting. There's the why. And his truth endureth to all generations. His word is true. We have that to be thankful for. All right, so let's move from the Old Testament. Let's move into the New Testament. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So creation alone should tell us there is a God. And I just a personal note on that, our son Kellen, who is in Austin, he is starting a new job, and he's having to go back and learn all kinds of medical terms. The company he works for is called Space Lab. They monitor the astronauts, and they've done so since the early 60s when Kennedy first started the space program. But what he said to me the other day, they monitor heart, lungs, and circulatory system. He said, after studying as much as I have from a medical perspective to be able to consult with doctors, how could any doctor, how could anyone, period, deny how amazing our bodies are put together? And there had to have been a creator. This didn't happen by chance. And therefore, we are without excuse. Going on, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory and uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Who did that? Satan. And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Why did he give them up? Because they weren't thankful. And instead, foolishly, in their wisdom, created idols to worship in the image of the creation and not the Creator. They have no excuse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How does it do that? It does it through the word. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is the why, that the abundant grace that God has shown towards us, that we don't deserve, it's a gift that we should be thankful for. And so let's now get into Ephesians and Colossians and some of Paul's writings. Ephesians 5, verses 16 says, redeeming the time. Ron mentioned that. We've got to do that. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Is that an understatement given the headlines today? Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is the how, singing, making melody, whether that be outwardly or in our heart, but be thankful for all things, the all things, unto God. The Greek word here is eucharisto. It means gratefulness, to express gratitude, specifically saying grace at meals, for instance, giving thanks or giving or being thankful, having thankfulness. It is gratitude for what we have, not complaining for what we don't have or what others might have because for whatever reason, God has said, I'm not giving you the things I'm giving them. There's a purpose in that. We don't understand that purpose. Why don't we have all the good things that we want? Well, maybe because we're being protected from that. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. There's your why. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There's your why. Who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, that's pleroma, the completeness, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. There's a why. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Boy, if you can't get behind that and realize what he's done, and realize that that forgiveness it took to do that, to reconcile us, to be unblameable, you need to focus more on what he's done for us and not what we need to do. We're staying in chapter 2, verses 7 through 14. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. there is a why and a how. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. There's a why. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That is how he forgave us. And he took away all the laws, the ordinances, the commandments. Not that they are not important, because they're written on our hearts now. But we don't have to do them to be complete. We don't have to do them for salvation, because we are complete. We are filled up to the full. The pleroma, complete in him. Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts. Okay, now that's a how. And in my case, it is mandatory to sing in my heart, because if I sang out loud, it wouldn't necessarily be singing with grace. Or at least wise others wouldn't think so. They would think that it is a wolf howling in the wind. Chapter 4 of Colossians. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. There it is again, redeeming the time. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man. So we have a how here. We are to continue in prayer with thanksgiving, praying for others, speaking the mystery, redeeming the time, and understanding the word to the point where we know what the hope that is within us is, that we can tell other people about. We can demonstrate with our actions, with our life, but importantly, that if asked the question, we can answer it. Just a couple more verses here. 1 Timothy 1, starting in verse 12. And I think Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, that I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Albeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereunto believe on him to life understanding. That's going to be everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is a why. Who enabled me, who counted me faithful, who put me in the ministry, And he did this in spite of the fact that I was injurious, a persecutor, a blasphemer. And I know these are Paul's words to Timothy, but they echo to me because I too would have been considered a blasphemer and injurious. I too would have been considered not only a sinner, but a chief sinner. And yet God, through his long suffering, has given me life everlasting in spite of that. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So here we are. I'm thankful that I can eat anything on Thanksgiving. And I believe there's no calories in any food eaten on Thanksgiving, or leastwise that's the premise that I'm going with. And so I am thankful, and thankful for you all, just as Paul was when he wrote Philippians 1:3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I have a new list now of things to be thankful for. There are 33 things on my list, and I don't know if Tony can post this or Chico's posting it, because I'm sorry I didn't send it to you, Chico. I sent it to Chip and Tony. But 33 things, things that we have just talked about. I should be thankful for peace, for the rock of my salvation, for he who revengeth me, bringing me forth from mine enemies, delivering me from the violent man. He's the tower of salvation. He showeth mercy. I am to remember his marvelous works. That the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Because that which be known of God is manifest in them, in us. For our light affliction, for all things unto God, partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, redeemed through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, complete in him, risen with him through the faith, forgiven our trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, for the peace of God, for the mystery of Christ, knowing now that how we ought to answer every man because we've studied his word, hath enabled me or empowered, counted me faithful, put me in the ministry, obtained mercy, and for every creature which is good to eat. And I am thankful for you, every single one of you, for your faithfulness, for your thankfulness. And I hope that we remember that with the coming holiday coming up. With that, I'm going to close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. We are so grateful for your word, Lord. We are so grateful for this group of believers that it comes together and praises you and worships you and sings psalms to you. And we just remember the amazing things that you've done for us, that we were so undeserving, but by your grace are we saved, not of our works, lest we should boast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise and exalt you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.